Let us grab our Bibles and lift our Bibles.
Radio.
My Bible, it was sent for my correction. It was written for my direction. I believe it and I read it. I am what it says that I am. I can have what it says I am. And I can do what it says that I can do. It is the word of the living God. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I mean, it took their test from lesson three last week already. We'll go over that at the end of the week. I gave out those quizzes from lesson three some weeks ago. You have yours? Okay, we'll go over that tonight. Tonight we're working in chapter 4 and 5 because chapter 4 was so short. We're going to cover chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Isaiah. We're still under the words of judgment. This is what we're dealing with, the first half of the book of Isaiah from chapters 1 to 39, talking about the words of judgment. We're dealing with Isaiah's vision. I know it's been a couple weeks since we've been here, but I asked everybody to read ahead and study and prepare themselves for the lesson. So we're moving right along. In chapter 4 deals with God's people, and our topic for chapter 4 is God's holy people will be cleansed. Before that, we dealt with, we're right now still under the sins of Israel and Judah from chapters 1 to 3 under the topic of words of judgment. Lesson 1, we talked about, who remember lessons 1? All our good note takers. Melanie. Lesson 1, we discussed the sins of Judah. That was the beginning and Israel. In lesson 2, we went on to walking in the light of the Lord in chapter 2. And chapter 3, which was our last topic that we was on, this is where Isaiah was warning the people that coming on Judah. And we talked about the sins of their self-destruction. So at the end of this lesson, we'll go over the quiz from chapter 3. Tonight, we're going to briefly read chapter 4. However, we're not going to read chapter 5. Chapter 5 is a long lesson, and we're going to go cover the main scriptures in the lesson. We're still talking about the vision that God gave Isaiah. Just to reiterate some of what we're talking about, when we study the Old Testament, we discover the ways that our God and how he judged and dealt with his children in situations in those times. When people say they want to know God and they don't believe God would do this and God is not like this and God is not like that, and I always tell them, read the Old Testament. The only thing that's changed is that we have an opportunity to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The laws are still the same. Holiness is still the same. It has not changed. There's no slack in holiness. It's holy as hell. When you read the Old Testament, this helps us to know the mind of God. The Bible says in the New Testament, let this mind be in you. This is what the apostle Paul said, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, we know, is a product of God himself on the earth in the flesh. So he had the same mind of God. In order to have the mind of God, you have to know him. Amen? So studying about God helps us to know the mind of God and become more familiar with the Creator. So in order to understand how we can best represent him, and this is what we are, representatives of God. When you say you're a Christian, that means that you represent Christ. You can't say you're a Christian and live like hell. You're representing the devil. Am I right about it? So in order to have a relationship or be a representation of God, you got to portray him somehow or another. People got to know that you know God. And they can't go by always what you say, because you can make your mouth say anything. So people are judging you by how you live. And this is basically what Isaiah's vision was. God had looked on Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, and Israel the same. They were the northern kingdom, Judah the southern kingdom. God had looked on them in their sins and how they had just totally turned away from him and started worshiping idol gods and doing the things of the people that were around them that were not the children of God. In other words, acting like the world, like we do in the church today, right? So God had seen this going on, and he was tired of it. And now it was time to judge them, okay? And sometimes God allows things to happen so that we can hear him in our lives. We sometimes things happen, and because of the way we're living, God is speaking to us to try to get us back in line. And we'll say, well, I rebuke the devil, and the devil, you can't give credit to Satan for everything. Hello? Sometimes it's God, too. God is allowing that to happen because he's speaking to you and you're not hearing him. So God has become, once we become more familiar with God, we understand that he was the first, he had called Isaiah, and Isaiah was the first of the Hebrew prophets that was recorded. His prophecies warned of judgment that was going to come on Israel. People don't hear warning today. They don't hear the word when God give word to the preacher or to a prophet or to his baby or whoever God give the word to. We don't hear that today. People don't believe that prophecies are true today, but they are. And God sent warning. How many know the Bible still stands when it says warning come before destruction? Hello? So God sends warning. Just like he did Israel, he sends warning to us. And so he sent the warning to Israel and Judah that they will perish, but they're going to perish. They're going to go through. And it would seem like God is being hard or harsh, but he let Isaiah know to tell them that they're going to go through. They will perish. They are going to die, but I'm going to save a small remnant. And he wasn't saying that just to say, I'm just kill something randomly, kill all of y'all. No, he already knew that not everybody was going to turn back. God already know when that you're going to backslide. He already know that you're not going to serve him. He already know that you're going to end up in hell. Hello, somebody. So when he said that they were going to die, but he's going to save a remnant, the remnant are the small amount of people that was saved, that's going to be saved, are the ones that served the Lord, the ones that kept holding on to God, didn't backslide, didn't compromise. We're living in a time now when people compromise their salvation. They compromise holiness. Coming to church is just something to do. Folk don't come like they used to. And when they come looking for something from the church or something from God. They don't bring of themselves. They don't bring their supply and their substance. All they want to do is get in the house of God and gimme, 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 gotta have, gotta have. And if they don't get, then they go and they ain't serving God no more, as if they're doing God a favor. We're the ones that need him. Hello? So Isaiah's cry was for Judah to come back to God and to spread the news of the coming salvation through the Messiah. Y'all need to come back to God. God's going to save you. He's going to make a way to deliver you from your sins, but you need to come back to the Lord. His father, Isaiah's father, was Amos, and he is mainly directed to prophesy to Jerusalem, but Judah was fastly following after Jerusalem, which is where Israel, and which is the southern kingdom. They was actually starting to act like Jerusalem and Israel, and so God said, "Let the word go to them too." Hello, give them judgment as well, because they're just like their backsliding lying sisters. Hello, amen. Sad, God called them backsliding heifers. I ain't do that. Those are God's words. Hello. So the office of prophet was instituted during the time of Samuel. We remember the book of Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges. So the function of a prophet was to speak for God. He stood with the priests as God's special representative. He confirmed the people and their leaders with God's commands and his promises. And so like pastors, God said, like he told Jeremiah, I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart. Pastors are supposed to have the heart of God. Today, the pastors represent God before the people. a form of the prophet standing before the people of God. But people hear and they don't hear. They hear what they want to hear. Hello? They do what they want to do today, praise God. So the same judge, you don't think that we're getting the way God didn't allow Israel and Judah and Jerusalem to get away with what they did. He's not going to allow us to get away with it either. It's still the same. Hello? True prophets were not favored in those days. Just the same way it is today. A true preacher, a true man or woman of God, a true spokesman for the Lord is not appreciated. A pastor in the church today sits in the place of a prophet, and he and she has been commissioned by God. That is to say, the ones that are called and sent by God. Some people just went. God didn't send them off. Some were sent, some just went. So those that were called and they're speaking of God's laws and speaking of his oracles and telling the people what thus saith the Lord, it ain't compromising. No, nobody liked them. Hello? So a pastor / prophet that tells the truth and speak the word of truth, which is the Bible said, you serve Jesus said you got to serve him. God said, serve me in spirit and in what? Truth. So you can't help but speak the truth. You can't compromise the truth. There's no compromise in truth. There's no half truth. There's no almost truth. Hello. There's no leave something out, forgot to cross the T and dot the I truth. It's the truth and that's that. And the only way to serve God is in truth. All right. So a pastor that tells the truth and speak the word of truth with boldness ain't going to be liked. And that's not good grammar, but you won't be liked. People don't like you. But guess what? Those are the ones that you need to cleave to because those are the ones that are concerned about your soul. Hello? They can pity-pat you and tell you nice things and try to, you know, put you, you know, okay, don't, baby, don't do this. And all that. They can love on you and then try to keep you in the clutches so you can keep bringing in your money and keep doing whatever you need to do for them. And meanwhile, you're on your way to hell. And it's okay to, you know, to run around with Joe and Sally and do your thing, you know, just, you know, come to church on Sunday and bring your tithes, your offering. The devil is a liar. There's no compromise in truth. Hello. It is what it is. You can't change truth. It is what God say it is. And God speak, amen, the mountains listen. The people don't listen. Hello. But the storms listen. The wind listen. The rain listen. The trees even listen to God. The animals listen to God. The sun listen to God because the sun is still up there. Otherwise, it would come down and fall on the earth and destroy every one of us. The moon and the stars, everything listens to God but the people. Hello. We know more about what's right than God does. And that's a shame. That's how come so many people are falling by the wayside. Because when truth comes, guess what? People start running because revelation comes. And a lot of people don't want to be revealed. Hello? People like to be hidden. So Isaiah's words were controversial, and they were not in line with the lifestyle that people are speaking, just like today. When you start telling people that sin is sin and a lie is a lie, hello? It's controversial, and it ain't going to line up with the way they want to live. And so they don't want to set up under you. They don't want to hear. But understand, outside of God's boundaries, his blessings won't work. You will not receive the blessings of God. The Bible says the blessings are the children of God. Remember the 37th Psalm say evildoers prosper in their way, but it's soon going to be cut down and withered as the green herb. Hello? In other words, it's going to be like dust. After a while, prosperity. There are evildoers that are prospering in natural wealth, but they're crazy as chinch bugs. Hello? Some of them ain't sleeping. They're counting their money in their sleep. They're killing family members to get money. They're robbing Peter so that they can, he's my partner, but he's also, I'm going to try to get ahead. He's my business associate, but I'm going to trick him so I can get most of the business. Evildoer prosperity is always conniving and scheming on how to get more. But those that prosper in God are at peace. And they don't mind giving. Evildoers don't want to give. They want everything given unto them. And the thing is, they think that, I don't know, they know they can't take it with them when they die, so why are you hoarding up? They just want more and more and more. Billionaires want to be a multi-billionaire. A billionaire ain't enough. Millionaires want to be a multimillionaire. $1 million ain't enough. I want to go to be a trillionaire. So that means if I got to scheme and take from you and rob and all this kind of stuff and embezzle, and that's what they do, then I'm going to do that because I want to go. I want to get money, 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 filthy lucre. The love of money is the root of all evil. So Isaiah called for the people to turn from their lives of sin, and he warned them that God will judge them with punishment if they don't turn from their wicked ways. He has an active ministry, and he was doing it for 60 years, warning them. He reigned. He did it through the kings that reigned with Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, and also Judah and Israel during that time. So that these nations were told to repent, and they did not. So we've talked about their sins, and the last lesson, lesson three, we're done with that, praise God. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Talked about how Isaiah warned the people of the judgment to come in Judah. And so tonight we're still in this, talking about the sins of Israel and Judah, but we're talking about God's holy people being cleansed. And this is from chapter 4. Now, the key verses in this chapter 2, 3, and 4, Isaiah predicted that some people would be protected by God's loving grace while they were under tribulation. So let's read Isaiah 4, since it's a very short chapter. We can read it, and then we'll go on to chapter 6 after we review it. Chapter 4 says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Hello? Saying, we will wear your, take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away thy reproach. And I was looking at that. I said, now, you know what? It's kind of like today. In other words, in that day, it just wasn't going to be enough men to go around because they're going to be killed. And women are going to, 10, 12, 15, 20 women are going to be after one man. But now, just look at this part right here. Don't this sound familiar? We'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Just give us your name. You got to take care of me. I'll take care of you. That's what the women today are saying. You don't even have to work. You don't have to own a car. You don't need no house. You can stay in the house. Hello. I'll take care of you. Ride a bicycle, drop your pants down to your knees. I don't care. I just want a man. Hello? Bishop told me, one lady told him one time, well, a piece of man is better than no man. Everybody raise their hand who want a piece of man. Just go ahead, throw them up in the sky. Better not. Throw it just right there with my Bible. A piece of man. What is that? What kind of man is that, a piece of man? Hello? Better than nothing at all. I'd rather have nothing at all. If I'm going to do bad, I'd rather do bad by myself. I don't need a man to do bad with. A piece of a man? What good is he to me? But we have the young people today, I hope that this generation of young people are not like the middle young people, like our children. Let's hope our grandchildren have more sense. Because the ages now that of our children that are accepting these men that we can't provide for them. The Bible said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. A man that can't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Hello. But you want him. And you call him a man. That's not a man. He can't even take care of his own self. Hello. You got to take care of him. But the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. So these are the type of women. I read that. I said, oh, my goodness. He must be talking about the women today. They say, we'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. You ain't worried about taking care of you. You ain't got to buy me nothing. Only let us be called by your name to take away my reproach. Because I don't want nobody to say, she ain't even got no man. I would take the she ain't even got no man than to have a no good man walking behind me with his pants sagging. Hello. Riding a bicycle. He can't eat unless I cook it, unless I buy the food. Hello?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to take away because you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I was fighting the warning. In this time, is the Lord gonna like wipe out almost like Solomon Gomorrah? Is he gonna wipe out the whole entire? You understand
his judgment? Will he start over? Yeah. Wipe out the whole earth? Like God told Noah that he wouldn't do it by water, but the Book of Revelations in that time and when that day comes, that this it's gonna be a progress. So how he does it, Revelation describes it better, because there's going to be a suffering on the earth first. before that happens. If he was going to do it like Sodom and Gomorrah, he would have done it a long time ago. But there's going to be judgment that's unbelievable. And the signs, the prophecy, the Lord has given me a vision the other night. I told the church about the road, how the road opened up and the black smoke came up out of the earth. And that spirit just dispersed like a mist over the whole earth. And if you see every day is something foolish, something different going on, that we, you know, things that we might as well expect things to be worse, that they're not going to get better. So we're living in the signs of the time. But how he does it, I don't have a clue. But he does. We better know that his judgment is coming, and it may be after we're gone, and it may be while we're here. We don't know, but I know I'm going to live as if it might be tomorrow or if it might be the next second, because he said live each day as if it were your last. Tomorrow is not promised to no man, so we don't know where tomorrow is going to come.
The book of Revelation says that God is going to be as a man standing in for 6 months. Now, that's a long time. I'm talking about standing. You ain't got no other choice. Everybody walking up right, and they want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The book of Revelation says the scoffer is going to be like a man standing in man for 6 whole months. Can you imagine? That's why y'all hear me say sometimes when God come back, y'all want to be already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Long gone. I'm working the 6 months ahead of
time. The torment has to come first. Yeah. And Revelation. Four. It starts around the fourth chapter. Yeah. But you have when the seals and stuff start opening up. We'll get into that one day, but read that. It tells you. But Isaiah opens up a lot of insight into it, and that's why I've been studying him a lot as well. So I was thinking about what's going on with these ladies. And so chapter 2, he said, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert for the storm and from rain. So when we go to verses 2 through 4, Isaiah predicted that some people will be protected by God's loving grace while under this great tribulation. And this was for Judah and Israel and Jerusalem during this time. Yes, you're going to go through. Yes, God's going to judge. He's going to destroy. But he was using the Syrian army to do this. But he was just letting them know that all this is going to happen. Y'all going to be killed. Y'all going to be destroyed. But some people are going to be protected. And these people will be the ones that are set apart to serve God when Jesus, our Messiah, reigns on the earth. So it's here today. When we're those that are serving God, that's why it's so important not to play. To be real with your worship. I never understood what was the point in pretending to be a Christian, pretending to serve God, when you can be out there doing everything you want to do, going straight to hell and doing it. Why would you come in the house of God and pretend? Because you can't fool God, and he's the only one that say where what happens to you. Hello? He's the only one that judges you. So why would you come in the house of God and pretending? And so he began to let them know that there are some, when the Messiah comes on earth, if you're not serving him, these people will have to have a distinctive mark of identification, and that is in their holiness, not their power, not their prestige, and not their price tag. Some people think because name, the bishop, the pope, or whatever the case may be, the Archbishop of Rome. They think because they have a big name, Apostle so-and-so, that this is going to be your identification. But your holiness, because there are a lot of people with a big name that are not holy. Hello? So titles don't make you holy. It's how you live in your connection with God, and how you obey the laws of God make you holy. The blood of Jesus. You're not serving Jesus if you're wearing a title and committing sin. Hello. While you're wearing the title. So the title doesn't sanctify you. It's the blood of Jesus that sanctifies you. And if you don't serve him, if you don't obey his law, he said you're none of his. All right? So this is the holiness that the Holy Ghost brings on you when you are endowed with it. It's always important when you come to the Lord to pray and pray and pray until you are endowed with the Holy Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. It's important to have the Holy Spirit, because if you're not endowed with the Holy Spirit, you can't walk holy without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your flesh won't do it. Your flesh don't want to do right. We don't want to do what's right in our flesh. When you want to do something wrong, you override the Spirit and you just do it, right? You just do it because you want to do it. So if you have the Holy Spirit, at least there's something telling you not to do it. There's something that's convicting you and making you feel so bad that finally one day you repent and you completely turn away from that thing. But the Holy Spirit won't force you. Hello? It's up to you, because the Bible says if you submit yourself to God, you'll be able to resist the devil. But you first got to submit. God don't force you to do right. You have to submit yourself to God. Once you submit to God, you can resist all the wiles of the devil. So if you're endowed with the Holy Ghost with it, you will have a sincere desire to obey God's moral principles and his standards and be wholeheartedly devoted to him. You know when you have the Holy Spirit, that's just something inside of you just want to do right. In other words, God will put an end to all the evil in that day. And this is paraphrasing that day with this day. And he's going to put an end to all the evil in that day. And all of his faithful followers will be able to share into his glorious reign. And Jesus himself said, if we are crucified with him, we'll reign with him. So if you can crucify the flesh, the Apostle Paul says, any man in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything is made brand new. To crucify the flesh, the only way you can crucify the flesh is to study the word of God, pray always, serve the Lord. Coming together in the house of God with the saints of God is not just to show your face or just to be there, but there's unity, there's strength in praise, there's strength in worship. Something happens when you have a corporate worship of God, that when you go out of this door, you've heard the word of God and you've entered the praises of God. Now you're in another realm. Now you want to go and you want to follow through with what you've heard and you want to follow through with what you felt in the house of God, right? So this helps you, amen, to continue on in God. Any questions on chapter 4? Amen. So let's go on to chapter 5. Chapter 4 talk about God's people is his vineyard. And I love this. I love this chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to go verse for verse in our study. And I'm hopefully that you guys read up on it, as you were told. There's like 30 verses in that chapter. So if we talk about verses 1 to 7, the lesson of the vineyard shows that God's chosen nation was to bear good fruit, to carry out the work of the Lord and to uphold justice. This is what we're to do today as the children of God. We're to bear. How do you bear good fruit? How is it that you bear good fruit? Study the Bible that teaches you how to bear good fruit. How are you going to bear good fruit? What are you doing? Righteous living. How are you doing that? In your conversations, bearing good fruit means your patience. We know what the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 4, 5, check it out. If you're patient, if you're long-suffering, if you're kind and gentle, loving, hello, not cussing everybody out you see and all this kind of stuff and lying and fornicating and living around, sleeping around, you're bearing good fruit, all right? And so the nation of God has to bear good fruit to carry out the work of the Lord and to uphold justice. This is what we're to do. But it did not. The fruit that it did bear was sour and wild grapes. And Jesus said, by their fruit shall they know them, Matthew 7 and 20. So what about your fruit? Is your fruit sweet or sour? I love that. I'm going to read a little bit of the first of chapter 5 because it really touched my heart. I preached a message from this a long time ago. It says, what more can he do? But chapter 5, verse 1 says, now when I sing to my well-beloved a song, this is God speaking through Isaiah, of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Now listen to this. And he fenced it in and gathered all the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Hello? I planted a vineyard. I took care of it. I put all kinds of fertilizer around it. I did everything I should have done in this vineyard. But instead of it bringing forth sweet, juicy grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Now listen, this is what God said. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this is what he's talking about, the people of Jerusalem. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, you tell me, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. And this is it. He said, I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds and the rain not to rain on it no more. I took good care of you, and this is what you give me. Hello. In other words, I take care of you. I nurture you. I cover you. I keep death from you. I keep sickness from you. I prepare your food. I make sure that you have a job. You're working. Everything that you got, the world is your oyster. Everything in this world, you've got shelter over your head. You've got the rain. I rain down rain to water the plants. I have the sun to shine, because sunshine is good and healthy for us, for your daylight. There's the moonlight by night. I make sure the food grows from the ground. I've done so much for you, and this is what you give me. And so when we go to verses 8 to 25, in these passages, God condemns sin. First of all, number one, exploiting others. He was talking about exploiting others. Drunkenness, taking pride in sin. There are people that do these things and they're proud of what they do. Well, everybody is doing it. Well, the law says you can do that. It doesn't matter. It's still sin. I don't care. It's still sin. Confusing moral standards because everybody's doing it. So now, you know, we're all doing it. There's no morality there. So they're confusing moral standards. They're being conceited. This me, I'm the best. You know, nobody can do it better than me. And they're perverting justice. Pay me, and I'll let you out. Pay me, and I'll put you off. Hello. And they're doing that today. If you get the right juror or the right white judge, you can get off anything. Come on, somebody. The right envelope, put the right stuff in the right envelope. Even the politicians are being paid to make a lot, to look the other way. And to make a lot of decisions. Some contractors get government contracts because they paid the politicians. Perverting justice, hello? Because of sin, because of sins, God punished Israel with destruction by Assyria. The Assyrians destroyed them, except for a few. They left a few. So a similar fate was awaiting Judah. If they didn't turn from these sins, Israel and Jerusalem was already being destroyed. Judah, get your act together. When you see somebody going through something over and over and over, you know they're half-stepping, they're supposed to be Christians, and every time you look around, there's one thing or the other, and you know they're doing wrong, you know they're messing up. Would you join them? Hello. You would try to minister to them and let them know you need to commit yourself to God. You call yourself a Christian. You can't serve God and the devil. Hello. Your whole life is a wave of a movement. You know, you don't know what side you're on. You need to stand still because James said that that's a double-minded person, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's crazy. Hello, so how you expect to receive a blessing from God? So I'm going to go with you when I know that you're wrong. I know you're in there. I don't think so. I'll wait until you come back. Hello? I love you. I'm going to pray for you. You're wrong. If you won't get it together, don't expect me to follow with you. And so he began to tell Judah that y'all going to be in the same you if you don't get it together. And so these people, in this time, they spent many countless hours drinking, and they spent many countless hours partying today. But Isaiah predicted that many of them would eventually die of hunger and thirst. Hello, a drought was coming. You got plenty now, but the dry is coming. The things is that our pleasures, if they do not have God's blessing on them, this one thing that we love so much just might be the thing that destroy us. I don't care how good it feels, and I don't care how much fun you're having. If God is not blessing it, if it's wrong in the will of God, it's the thing that's going to destroy you. Remember God said, continue in that sin. He said, I'll allow that sin to overtake you and destroy you. Read Romans chapter 1. If you continue doing that thing, whatever it is, and you know it's out of the will of God, he said eventually it will destroy you. That's why we have so many sexually transmitted diseases where people are doing this stuff and they know they're wrong. They know they're out of the will of God. People are being caught, hooked and whatever you call it, on drugs. They're tied up with drugs because it's wrong. They're destroying their bodies and they can't turn loose. It's connected with them. They become one with that drug now. They'd rather destroy their kill their mama for that drug now. Why? Because it's connected with them. Those spirits have overtaken them. And that's why I'm apart with the things of the world. Hello. You think he's doing that to keep you from having fun, to save your life? You can have fun in God, and doing what's right is fun in God. Doing what's right is fun. But people don't understand. They don't realize that the things of God bring joy. They think that because they can't do it the opposite, or can't do the opposite of what the Bible says, it's not fun. But God don't want his people destroyed. Hello. That's love. For somebody to tell you not to do this when they know that it's going to kill you, they know that it's going to destroy you, and they keep telling you, don't do it, this is best for you, this is best for you, don't do that, don't do this. They're not trying to stop you from having fun. They're trying to save your life. Huh? Amen. Save you from being destroyed. And so God was trying to save them from being destroyed. He was telling them. So when we leave God and put him out of our lives, we have any door to open so sin can just creep right on in. Can creep up on us and we don't even know it has overtaken us. We think we're okay. Some people think, you know, that things they're doing well because everybody else is doing it. You think you're okay and you're not. You're just so separated from God as you can be. God is not even nowhere near you, nowhere in the plan. And so when we have no concern for others and just what makes us feel good and we're left empty and under the anger of God. I've done it. I felt good about it. But now there's no satisfaction. Sometimes when you do this thing, and I know, you know, nobody in here does that. But whatever it is that you do that you know is out of the will of God, it felt good right then. But when it's over, you feel so bad. Now you're empty. Now you feel destroyed. And guess what? Now you're separated from God too. Hello? So what's the point? Is it worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. Now you're under the anger of the living God. And the Bible says it's a bad thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's one place I would not want to be, okay? God really wants us to enjoy life. In 1 Timothy 6 and 17, he was talking about that. He wants us to avoid dying or saying anything that would lead us away from him. Anything that causes us to turn away from God is death. Separated. It's sin separates. Sin is death. And you always say it's dead men walking. But it's we're dying. We're not alive. And anything that we do that will separate from us from God will utterly destroy us. So he's trying to he wants us to stay away from these things. These old habits. Some people say in the world, old habits die hard. They don't in God. If you have the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, God will deliver you from them old habits if you want to be delivered. When people don't get delivered, I say they don't want to be delivered. Because when you want to be delivered, God will deliver you. He's just that kind of God. When you want to be free of something, he will help you. He will take that away from you. Because one thing about it, God sees, remember I told y'all, he sees in your heart. Y'all know that, the scripture says. And you keep saying, I want to be free. I don't want to smoke no more. But in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, man, I'm going to smoke one more cigarette, and then I ain't going to smoke no more. Hello, you just told God you don't want to smoke no more. You just said you want to be delivered. Come on. I'm not going to use drugs no more. I'm just probably, I'm going to go by Sam's house and get one more hit, and then I ain't going to do that. That's going to be it. But you just said out of your mouth, you don't want to do drugs no more. Lord, deliver me from drugs. We already know. So that spirit ain't going nowhere. That spirit feels connected to you because you never really wanted to let it go. And when you really wanted to let it go, when you say that, when you say it from your mouth, guess what? You get delivered then. It's up to you to walk in it. When you speak it from your mouth, Lord, I don't want to do this no more. I'm tired of the lying. I'm tired of the fornicating. I'm tired of the drugs. I'm tired of the alcohol. I'm tired of destroying my body. I am tired of, Lord, deliver me. You are delivered, but it's up to you to walk in it. If you know that you're weak to alcohol and they got a bar, open bar right here across 13th and you got to get to 15th, if you got to go to 29th to get to 15th, you got to go all the way around, then do that to avoid going to. Because you're going to run, you're going to smell alcohol, and next thing you know, you're going to be right over there in with the rest of us. I came over here to witness y'all. But you know I'm thirsty. Let me hold a little bit of that. Hello. And you find yourself right back where you were, out there, hooked on drugs and alcohol and everything. So, and so these people brought the judgment of God upon themselves. Isaiah warned them. He warned them. He warned them. He kept telling. Hello. God will cleanse you, but you got to want to be cleansed. People will say it. Do you want to be saved? Yeah. You want to be delivered? Yeah. I want to be free. Well, say after me. And Lord, come into my heart. Everything you say, they say. And all the time in their heart, there's wickedness. There's evil in their heart, and they don't mean a word of it. But the thing is, they don't understand that God already know that. So all of this talking and all this repeat what I say and all your sweating and praying is just going up and hitting. Just, it didn't even go up to the heavens. Why? Because their heart is not right. Jesus didn't perform a miracle unless the people had faith. And if they didn't have faith, God moved them from around them. If you don't believe that God is going to deliver you and set you free, why are you standing up in church lying? You know you don't want to be free anyway. Hello. Now we'll go to hell in a rowboat. Just get on out there and roll yourself on into hell and stop standing up lying saying, I want to be free, I want to be delivered. People don't understand. Every word that's uttered from your mouth is being written down. The Bible says we're going to have to give account of every idle word, every word you speak from your mouth that ain't making no sense. Hello, somebody. That ain't edifying and ain't building up nothing, tearing down every word you speak. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, but you know what? Nope. Recorder. Everything is recorded. Played for you. Hello. Everything. So the Bible says everything. That's why we have to be careful. That's why Solomon said be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Because, see, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And sometimes we can open our mouth and put our foot in our mouth, swallow our foot whole because of the things we speak from our own mouth. Sometimes you speak your own judgment. Tell a lie to God and speak your own judgment. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? I don't talk about that enough. I need to get back to that. Stood before the man of God and lied, and both of them dropped dead. Come on. Even I don't care if I don't drop dead. I ain't taking that chance. Hello. If I don't want it, I'm saying, no, I don't want it. I never came on this side looking for nothing but God. And I can't comprehend people that don't get all the way in there when they come. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't, because when I came, I was young too. And I came looking for God and receiving everything he had for me. And I didn't want to play in with God today and play out there in the street tomorrow. I gave everything up and came all the way in. And I can't wrap that around my brain, people that do that. I'm sorry, I can't. And people say, well, it take time. It took one day for me. And the same God that brought me out of that mess and delivered me will do you too. If you want to be. That's why I say this has to be between you and God. Playing with it ain't going to get you there. You're going to mess around and find yourself caught up in something that you don't want to be caught up in, the judgment of God. The Bible says, God said, I'm going to laugh with you. There's going to come a time when you're going to fall into calamities, and I'm going to laugh at you when you fall into calamities. God will cleanse you from anything you ask him to cleanse you from. He will deliver you. That's the kind of God we serve. He will cleanse you. He will purge you. You don't have to run around with that stuff. You don't want to do it, get rid of it. Shake it off and quit playing with God. Hello? These people brought, listen to that, these people brought the judgment of God upon themselves. People do it all the time. I don't know why this happened to me. You don't. Hello? No, you're lying. Come on. Where were you yesterday? What did you do last night? What you did 5 minutes ago. You set your own destiny. He said, I set before you life and death. You choose. Life if you serve me in eternity. Death if you don't in the hellfire. That's up to you. You can have life and abundant living, because Jesus said, I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. Or you can go ahead on out there with all your wealth and hell and all that good stuff out there, partying all the way to hell if you want to. That's up to you. Amen? But don't say that the things that happen to you are happening unfairly when you already know why they're happening. Turning away from God opens up us for his judgment. When we backslide and walk away, today I'm in the Lord, tomorrow I'm out. You open the door for anything to happen. Satan will come up there, look, God, can I talk to you for a minute? You see, Eugene, I saw him doing so-and-so yesterday. It just, let me touch him just a little bit. Oh, I just want to touch him. I ain't going to bother nothing, but just let me, can I just touch some of his stuff? Hello? And God, you know what? I've sent him warning after warning after warning. Go ahead. Touch this, but don't touch that. Things start happening. The devil is a liar. No, he ain't. God sent him there. He sent him there to get you back in line. That's why it's so important to read your scripture and get to know your God. Know his ways. Know the ways of God. Don't be trying to judge him by what you think was right. I think this ought to be. You know, you say, Lord, forgive me, you know, and you don't know that much. God ought to just say, okay. That's not the kind of God we serve. Know God. Know that he loves you all he wants. He loves blessing you. He loves giving you what you desire. But all he asks you to do is to serve him and walk upright before him. That's not a hard thing to do. When I was in sin, I didn't like it. And I wasn't even saved. I wasn't in the church. When I was going with other women's husbands, I didn't like it. Is that something to do? But that was the lifestyle. That was what it was about back then. You're young and you feel like, oh, you know, I got this is my life. This I do what I want to do. And then you get tired of it. And you say, you know what? I don't want to do this no more. Everybody else is doing it. I don't care. I don't want to do it no more. It's not right. Hello. Getting high. Going to parties. I don't care. And I stopped drinking. I couldn't drink no way, but when I did drink, and I would go out with my friends and fall asleep at the table with a Coca-Cola because I was bored stiff. You got to say, you know, I look at myself, I don't want to be drunk. I don't want to be high. I don't want to look like a fool. I want to always be in control of what's going on around me, of what I do and what I say. Hello. And I want my own husband. Hello. Somebody's going to take care of me, love me, and nurture me. Not, I love me today and go back home to your wife tomorrow. I love me, then Sally, then Susie, then your wife. Because some of them out there like that. They got about 4 or 5 of them on the side. Hello. Glory to God. So you have to know that you open up. When you fall away from God, you open the door for all kind of things to happen. And so where there was once party food and music, guess what? Now you're going to be hungry and thirsty, and you're going to say, man, I used to have some money. Man, I know I had $100 this week. Where in the world that money went? And you, especially when you get paid and you know you're supposed to be a blessing to the house of God, or you get money, you're supposed to be a blessing, you go everywhere, but you go all around the church. When offering get taken up, you go out the front door. And then the next day, you're like, I'm broke. Yesterday, I had some money. What happened? Hello. When you get some sense and start reading the word of God, you learn how to be blessed. How to be blessed in your storehouse. How to be blessed in the fruit of your body and the fruit of your womb. How your territory should be blessed. You learn what you're supposed to do in the word of God. And you don't let other folk tell you, you shouldn't do that. There are so many people with opinions. Oh, my goodness. I get tired of people's opinions. When folks start giving me their opinion, I just look at them. But what you think, Sister Cooper? No, you don't believe that, do you? What do you say to stuff like that? It don't line up with the word of God, and you're giving me your opinion, and you want to know what I got to say about it? I have nothing to say. Keep your opinion to yourself. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, don't give it to me. Hello? Otherwise, I'll stop preaching this. Why would I preach this if I'm not going to do what it says, believe what it says? Huh? Why would I preach it if I'm not going to believe it, Brother Chuckie? I might as well just say, you know, okay, well, what your opinion is? Minister Karen, you tell me what your opinion is of holiness. I know what the Bible says, but you tell me what you think about it. Now, if it don't line up with the word of God, don't bring it to me. That's where the saints of God ought to be. We're children of the Most High God. Holiness is what we're about. And Isaiah was letting Israel know that God is sending, he's sending one over and over today for us. And you can see things happening around us, and the people are still falling away from God. The church done stopped serving God. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes you go in different churches, and you'll be like, wow, is this a party in here, a club or something? What's going on? Hello. You wonder what's going on in the house of God. When people don't have choirs no more, thank God for y'all wanting to get a choir going again. But I'm telling the bitches, if it's just me and you, we need a choir. Folk don't do that no more. Hello. Folk don't kneel at the altar no more. And everybody got a new shout. Come on. I mean, the rejoicing has to be something more than just see how cute I shout. Come on. It has to be more than that. We rejoice in God. We shout, we dance, we rejoice, but we got something to be thankful for. Because the word told me. Because I heard in the word, because my spirit was quickened by the word of God, and now I'm rejoicing. Now I'm glad in my spirit. Hello. Not because Sally, I got to get, let me see if I can get Sally's shout. That's cute right there. Hit me up with that. Show me how to hit that leg like that, how you do that leg. Hello. And so people have walked away from God. There's rapping and stuff, and that's good, but then there's some rap I hear. And folk, I went to, let me tell you, one service I went to, and I know that child, what he was rapping was not gospel. But everybody was just clapping and going on, and I'm sitting there like, are they listening to what that child's saying? I didn't hear God's name mentioned not one time in there, or Jesus, or holiness, or nothing, or the word, or scripture. He was just going on like, I didn't listen to everybody, and the young people all up and clapping, it's just the beat. It was the beat that got them. They weren't listening to the word. It was the beat. So I said, if he stopped cussing right now, they'd probably stop. I'm serious, because they were so into the beat, they didn't know what he was saying. You have to be careful. You can't just listen to music. You got to listen to the words as well. All of this was going on while Israel and Judah were in exile and in captivity in Assyria. Isaiah got a word. Even the heroes and honorable men will suffer the same humiliation as common people. Why do you think that is? Because they live their own life, their own way, rather than living God's way. The important thing for us to understand that it's God's, it's holy or hell. We don't have a choice. It's nothing that we can do to. I wouldn't even want to change it. Man, I lived in the world. So why would I want to come to the church and bring the world and the church with me? I came to the church to get away from the world. Ain't that what you do? You come to the church, I thought, to get away from the world. So why would I want to bring it in here with me? That's what people messed up. That's what people are confused. No, it ain't that. Today, so many of the famous people, sport heroes, businessmen, radio personalities, singers, and all of them, they are idolized because of their ability to live their life the way they want to. No holds barred. I'm going to do it. I got enough money. I can do what I want to do. I can live my life like I want to. And our children are idolizing them. I was looking at, y'all saw that video I reposted on my page, on my Facebook trends. Somebody posted on my page, and Tupac was the only one made sense. This young man rapping, I think that was Tupac. Let's see. It was, I'm saying they need to listen to the words. And he was talking, he was rapping, and then so they asked him, say, well, what do you think about what's going on, the unrest in the neighborhoods and in the community? You know what? I can't even think that stupid. What did he say? Yeah, let the other people think about that. I'm like, what he's saying to y'all young folk who love by his music, I don't want nothing but your money. Whatever happened, they can shoot y'all down. I don't care. That don't bother me. Just buy my records. Basically, is what he's saying. And they idolize people like that. Yeah. Then there was one where Derek sent me one where he said, I'm glad I stopped buying Jordan shoes. Where Jordan said he makes his shoes are not, they were talking about his shoes are too expensive. He said, well, for black, you know, poor black kids, and they love his shoes. Well, I didn't make my shoes for poor black kids. I made them for middle-class white kids. Hello. I'm saying these parents, like y'all people, going out there spending $200-$300 of their hard-earned money trying to buy his shoes for their children, and he can talk like that? I said, what is wrong with people? I don't like sneakers, number one. And number two, $200, $20 is too much for me to put on a pair of sneakers. I don't even like them. For me to wear them, I ain't putting more than $20 on them, and they're going to be killing up around the yard soon, not go somewhere in them shoes. But to pay that, and I said, I can't believe him that he would speak from his mouth on national TV concerning his own people and know that the black children are scraping. They're the ones that's buying his product. Their parents are scraping their dollars to buy his product, and that he would say something like that. So I said, oh, you know what? Black folks need to wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee. Hello. Get a grip. Just because it's got somebody else's name on it, make you a pair of shoes and put your own name on it. Do something. Because I'm telling you, anything, is if it's pretty, I don't care if it's cheap, if it's pretty, it's made out of good quality, buy it. It'll look good on me. Why I got to pay $200-$300 for somebody's shoes who don't care nothing about me? Because you got your money. You used to be in my neighborhood, but now you got your money. You're up higher than me. And so everything you do is, I'm too low class now, so I can't afford to. You're not thinking about me. Knowing how much those black kids idolize him. Hello. So that's why you need to idolize Jesus. That's right. He should be your idea. They put their idolize on them and all these reality shows and all that kind of garbage. Everybody want to be like somebody else, but don't nobody want to be like Jesus. Even the saints done gone buck wild on this stuff. When I'm on Facebook and what her name is, be on the lizard or what? Lucius, what her name? The president's girlfriend.
Olivia.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at the president's girlfriend. And the scandal, some lizard, I know it was something like that. Scandal is on. And saints going to town, preachers talking around like, that is not a good movie to watch. I watched it. And there's a lot of explicit scenes in there that saints should not have their eyes on. Look. And I don't care, watch it. I mean, you got to watch the whole thing, but just watch, you see what I'm talking about. And they got a nerve to out themselves on Facebook. I said, oh, okay, Apostle. Now I know where your head is. That's how come they get involved in so many worldly things, and that there's so much fornication and so much lasciviousness and sexual impurities in the house of God because of television. They're watching the wrong thing on television. Isaiah said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, because see, the eyes are the key to your soul, and whatever you let your eyes see gets into your soul, it gets into your spirit. Whatever you hear with your ears, it gets into your spirit. It becomes, people say, well, oh, that ain't me. After a while, you find yourself dreaming that stuff. Thank you. And next thing you know, you're lusting after somebody. You want to do it. It's up to you. Now you see. Now you put yourself in her place. Oh, if that was me, huh? I'm serious. So stuff like that you shouldn't even watch. Don't even put yourself. And this was Israel's downfall, and the same thing with ours. They saw the people around them, the other countries, other nations that they had went into captivity, and they had seen them and how they were acting, and they started acting just like them. And God said, no, not so. And this is what he's saying. God's saying the same thing today about the saints today. Not so. You will not be like the world. You're supposed to be my children. You're supposed to be called by my name. Act like you belong to me. Act like you're my child. You ever seen kids out there acting the foolish and parents? I say, oh, that ain't none of my child. Hello. The way some of us Christians act, I know God is up in heaven and said, that is not my child. Because it's true. You are not his child. Hello. Let me bring it on in. Some people drag their sins around with them, but their sins soon become a heavy burden, and that wears them out. They start out with unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted diseases, drugs and alcohol, loose and lasciviousness, boy with boy, girl with girl. All of these things begin to weigh on them because now their sins are heavy. And it becomes a burden to them now. So now they're in the house of God, heavily laden, heavily burdened. When you come to the altar, I guarantee you, if you want to be free of all these old heavy burdens, if you ask God, he will deliver you. You won't leave out of the church the same way you come in. But some people don't want; they won't let go. And I can feel them. I can feel when people get their deliverance. And I can feel when they went, they just ain't nothing happened. Nothing. So I was talking to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, this is making me so tired. Because sometimes I'm so drained. And I'm really, really, really trying to help this one, that one, get their deliverance. And the Spirit of the Lord let me know if they don't, there's nothing you can do if they won't let go. So I know what to do for them kind of people from now on. These things can weigh you down. And they get you deeper and deeper and farther away from God. The more you do these things, the further and further away you get from God. They can cause you to lose yourself in them. You be so caught up in them, you don't care no more. You see people be so caught up in sin that they don't care. They start doing anything and looking like anything and acting like anything. They don't care. Why? Because you've done it so much it becomes a part of you. It's gotten into your spirit. You have made a soul of the time. All on that some years ago, soul ties. You made a soul tie with that sin. That sin is so knotted up in you. It's going to take God, hallelujah, the power of God to get you away from it. Even you yourself can't resist because you played around with it until it became a part of you. Y'all became one, you and that sin. And so you got to unweigh yourself from all these heavy burdens. Sin brings a heavy price tag. Understand that. You got to learn to seek God while he can be found. Seek him with your whole heart and mind so that you don't get caught up like Israel. Sin weighs, carries a heavy price tag. I'm sorry. And the lies you tell and the pretensions that you think, well, no, don't nobody know about it. God knows. And let me tell you something. God don't keep me in the dark and he don't keep Bishop in the dark. But we just pray. And after a while, God is going to start pulling covers. In the open. Everybody's going to be wide open. Hello. If the preachers are really praying for the people, God will stop pulling covers. Because it's time out for it. When we as a people are not able to carefully distinguish between good and evil, destruction is going to soon follow. You open the door. You open the door. People will make, they will make comments like, everybody make mistakes. Oh, good. Don't you hear that? Who heard that? Nobody's perfect. How many times have I heard that? Just because you say it's wrong, don't mean it make it don't make it wrong. The law says it's good. How many times have I heard that one? So this is evident. When you hear that these people don't have an idea, they don't have an inkling of a concept of what is right and what is wrong. Now they don't even know what the difference between holy and unholy. They've lost sight of God. So in their minds, it's all about what they think is right, not what God says is right. They may even think that getting high on drugs or drinking, getting drunk on alcohol can't hurt them. Ain't that wrong with thinking Jesus drank a little while? Oh, my God, I wish the Lord. I'm so glad God is not because I would have an invisible hand and just, when they say that, just slap the taste out of their mouth. I'm telling you, just let the Holy Spirit just go, pong. You know, don't hurt them. They were like, whoa, what happened? The sun hit me? Better be worried. What hit me? Glory to God. I'm tired of hearing that. I don't know what to do. And anybody talking like that for Christians. Christians that want to do it. So why are you talking like that? Go on out there. Quit playing church and get on out there and drink all the wine you want. You can sit up under the tree with Billy Bob and them and sip on your wine, and you ain't even got to worry about it. You don't have to fake it no more. I know you're right. I want his juice. Glory. They don't even read the scriptures. Read the scriptures and stop lying on God. The Bible says that's blasphemy. And that's the one sin that you'll never be forgiven. God said he'll forgive you for everything, but not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. When you lie and say, God, Jesus drunk wine. Wine is a strong drink, and he was a priest, and priests are not allowed to drink strong drinks according to the Bible. It defiles the temple. When you say he drunk alcohol, he did not. Hello. Think about it. These people suffered because they threw out God's law. Today we say that we're under grace and truth so that the law does not apply to us. People say things without researching a matter. They don't search it out or even think it through. They just blurt out of their mouth or they heard somebody else say. And I can tell when somebody's saying what they heard somebody say. Because they don't have no background or no foundation to what they're talking about. Hello. They heard it, so it sounded good, and it felt good to them, so they just blurted out their mouth. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal the thing, but it's in the glory of a king to search it out. Hello. When you want to find out about God, you'll search that thing out. It's in his glory to hide it and conceal it. It's up to you to search it out. It's right there, surface deep. If you really want to know the mind of God, which every believer, anybody who say they are a child of the living God should want to know him. They should want to have a relationship with him. Then get up off of your seat or do nothing and start to seek him in his word with all your heart and your mind. We got this holy convocation going on this month. Everybody ought to be reading their Bibles and sure better not be watching no scandal. Let me just put that out there. The Holy Bible. Some people say it's our basic instructions before leaving earth. That's how they spell Bible. It's the truth. And you ought to be falling into that Bible. I promise you, if you spend these 21 days in the word of God, in prayer, in your services, I promise you, you can't help but change. If you stop talking to these negative people, tell them I'm on a convocation this month. Call me in February. And then in February, you ain't going to want to talk to him about it. You stick with God. And I'm telling you, you stick, be real with this thing. Stick close with God. By February, you'll be like, you know what? So good. Let me tell you what happened to me this month, what the Lord showed me in my prayer time. Hello? Is this so-and-so? Yeah, I'm tired. It's me. Ooh, honey, me and God, I went to noonday prayer. Where you been for the whole month? I've been with Jesus. Oh, you know what? Let me call you back. And you won't hear from them no more. Hello. Because God has made a change in you. And so if you're serious about this and not just doing it to lose weight or just doing it just to do something, I'm telling you, you're praying, you're fasting, you're reading your Bible, you're in your church services, you turn off that TV, you watch television, but don't get into the more dirty, low-down, nasty, killing, you know, snatch your tongue out and cut your head off type movies. Stay away from that stuff. Sleeping with Betty, Bobby, Billy, and Susan, all that kind of stuff. Keep your focus on God. Watch as much Christian TV as you can. You don't watch your favorite comedy show where ain't no cussing, that's fine. But watch as much Christian TV as you can. Stay off your telephone. Hello. You're going to go on Facebook, say something spiritual, and get right off. Because you're going to run across something on there you don't need to see. Hello. We can avoid falling into the same error as Israel and Judah did by making not only reading our Bible, but making it a priority. Making it a way of life, obeying what we read, not just reading, say, well, I read the word and it says thus, 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 but apply it, search it out, wonder what it means. What does it mean to me? How can I do that word for me? What is it? And I read this and it really kind of touched me, but I want to know exactly what it means. Search it out. Pastor, come in. Can I talk to you a minute? I just read so and so, and I really want to know what it means because it really sounds interesting. So let's search this matter out. Get to understand and get to know it. The passage of scripture describes in 26-30 what God said he would do if the people disobeyed him. He reminded them of Deuteronomy 28, verse 21. The Lord will afflict you with diseases, hello, until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and to occupy if you disobey him. Somebody read Deuteronomy 28 chapter when you get home. Read the whole chapter. You're going to love the first part because there's nothing but bless, 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 bless. But when you get around about verse 21, around about verse 13 or 14, it starts tapering off. You get to verse 21, it's going to be cursed when you go in. You'll be cursed when you, this curse, the plague, the boils, and all, so many plagues. It went on to like how many verses? 28 chapters, 68 verses of plagues. Hello? Come on, people. 68 chapters, of plagues. I mean verses, I write verses. So you don't want to have that on you. You want to make sure that you obey the Lord our God. The tales of the plagues and the curses start in verse 15 and it ends at verse 68. Now, you know what, that's bad. So now that's a lot of curses. When I read those, and we used to always be taught from Deuteronomy 28 chapter, we read all the way into 15, you'll be blessed when you go in and blessed when you come out. Blessed shall be your city. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. And you're going to lend to many nations and not borrow. That was our confession in our church. And so one night I sat down and read the whole chapter. I went, wait a minute. Then I reread it. And I asked one of the ladies that missionaries, well, I'm missionary, and I was like, did you read all of Deuteronomy 28 chapters? No, I don't think. You need to read it. Because it sounds good in the beginning. But when you disobey God, it don't sound so good. And when you start reading it and you think about the curses and the sicknesses and the diseases that's on the land today, you think about the craziness and how he said, I'm going to take your wife and give her to another and all that kind of stuff, and women running around with other men, leaving men running around with other women and all kinds of stuff going on, and men with men and women with women, and the children being molested and murdered and all this kind of stuff, people cutting heads off and shooting you just because you got on green, they don't care. That no regard for human life whatsoever. They regard animals more than they do humans. And you see all this stuff going on, and you wonder, you say, Lord, where are we in you? Where are we at? Where are we in Isaiah is what I'm asking God. Where are we? We got to be somewhere close to that. The things that's going on in this country and in this nation and the visions that God has given me and to Elva Marin and to a lot of my pastor friends that have been talking to me, the visions that God and has been putting to his pastors and his leaders and the word that he's been putting out there, where are we in Isaiah? You need to be asking that too, because you don't want to be caught outside or like Elva Marin said, on the backside of God. You don't want to be caught out there. Amen? So it's important that we search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, Jesus said, because in them you'll find the keys to eternal life.